All right, we're going to get started. I decided to stand down here because I can be more where you are. Let me introduce myself. I am Lorraine Ballard Morrill. I am the Director of News and Community Affairs for the 6 Clear Channel radio stations in Philadelphia. Although I say radio, they're really 6 brands, and I'll explain that in just a minute. So those stations are Q102, Power 99, Radio 104.5, Mix, WDAS AM, and WDAS FM. What I do is I do public affairs programming. I do all of the public service announcements. I also do all the media relations for all the radio stations. So in some sense, I'm both a consumer and someone who needs to reach out as well. So I'm on both sides of the fence when it comes to PR and marketing. I'd like to just get a little bit of an idea of who's in the room just by a show of hands. Who is here from a nonprofit organization? And then the rest of you are in business. In business, okay. All right, I hope to give you information that will be relevant to both constituencies. First of all, I'm going to tell you some things that are pretty basic and pretty easy to understand. And the first thing I'm going to say is know your media. One of the most frustrating things for someone on my side of the fence is someone who doesn't know who they're addressing. Every day, I probably get close to 500 emails and, you know, numerous letters in the mail and countless phone calls. Now, in this new media landscape, we were owned by Bain. We have been downsized, as often happens with Bain companies. And so a company that used to have a news director for each of the radio stations now has one person overseeing 6 stations. A company that used to have a public affairs director for each station or someone doing marketing for each station, now that is all done by one person. And you'll find that in many media outlets, many conventional, standard, establishment outlets, that is often the reality that you're faced with. So understand that going forward, that oftentimes the person that you're trying to reach has a tremendously large job to fill. So that's why it's so very important to be targeted. Every day I get a lot of pitches. And I look at the pitches that I get, and a lot of them immediately go into trash. And the reason for that is that I'm getting pitches for corporate earnings reports. I'm getting things that are absolutely not having to do with any of our radio stations. Our stations are entertainment. Our stations do public affairs and public service, and they also deal with different demographics. For instance, Power 99 FM is 18 to 34, African American for the most part. Q102 is 18 to 34, general market. So understand that it's not just radio, but it's radio with different flavors to it. So you have to know your flavors. Also, radio is very different than TV. For those, Bonnie's a veteran, she should be teaching me all this stuff, but for those of you who are trying to pitch your stories or your subjects out there, understand that there are very different mediums. With radio, obviously, a lot of it has to do with the theater of the mind, the things that you can talk about, the things that move you, that you hear. When it comes to television, oftentimes the stories that they want are stories that have a very important visual element. And then print has its own particular points of view. So really understand when you're pitching a story what the format is that you're pitching to, in addition to the flavor of the company or the outlet that you're also pitching to. One of the really cool things about the radio market is the fact that there are different flavors so that you can be very targeted for your message. If you're trying to reach African-American males on an issue like HIV or blood pressure screenings or whatever, then there are specific stations that you should research and understand what their demographics are that will be perfect for that. But understand that if you're pitching a story that doesn't fit in with what the format of the station is, then it's going to go in the trash. Another thing that's very true these days is that there are very specific ways in which we like to get our pitches that we consume and like to communicate. Different outlets have different specific requirements. But for me, and I think this is probably true for a lot of people like me, we don't really like to get things in the mail anymore. In fact, I often find that I get stuff in the mail and it's directed to maybe me, or it might just say radio station, and I'll get five of them or six of them for each individual station. The person who's sending me this information clearly doesn't realize that there's one person that's taking in all of this stuff. So I immediately, and this may be harsh, but I throw that in the garbage right away. Because number one, it tells me that they don't understand who I am, what our stations are, or how best to reach me. For the most part, when people call me, I leave a message on my voicemail that says, please email me. Because for someone like me that has so many people that I have to deal with, in order to really organize my life, it's much easier to do it by email than by someone calling me. Now, I will talk to people. If I'm sitting next to my phone, I will usually pick it up. But for the most part, I always will ask people to pitch me by email. So it's very important that you understand who it is that you're trying to target. Try to find out who that person is. It's really unfortunate because so often I will get an email from somebody who says, someone directed me to you, but in the meantime, what had happened is they got bounced around a lot of different places within our company because they didn't understand that I'm the person that they're supposed to be reaching out to. So it's extremely important, and it takes a little bit of effort, but it really pays off. Also, know what the requirements are. One of the things that kind of irritates people like me the most is folks who call me up at the last minute and say, we have this event, it's this weekend, and we'd like you to cover it. Well, given the fact that we don't have a lot of personnel, the likelihood of us doing it are pretty much zero. But if someone gives me a month's notice or 2 weeks' notice, then I have lots of different options laid out for you. I could either do a public affairs program, I could do a public service announcement, and in some cases, we might actually go out to your event if you're a nonprofit and be on site. And we can have our jocks talk about it. There are lots of different things that we can do, but we can only do that if you give us adequate notice. So that's extremely important. One of the other things that I think it's important to know is that you have to be patient. I got an email from somebody, and I actually copied it. I'm not going to read it to you, but it was someone who's pitching a person who does motivational speaking. And this publicist had emailed me 2 weeks ago, and I didn't respond. I was actually on vacation, and then I was sick for part of the time. So those were the reasons why I didn't respond right away. Well, she wrote me back a really mean email. And she said how unprofessional it was, and, really, you should have gotten back to me. It's been 2 weeks. And it was a very angry email. And I was like, whoa, you have no idea of what the reasons were that I didn't get back to you. I mean, sometimes that just happens. If you're away for a week and you've got like 1,000 emails in your inbox, sometimes you just can't get through all of them. So I guess the lesson there, for me, I wrote her back very nicely. And I said, listen, I understand your frustration, but understand that you need to be patient and, don't give up. But I could have said, forget it, bitch. But, I didn't. Maybe thinking about it at first. But you know what? I want to be supportive. No matter how frustrated people can be. I mean, it's really rare that people do that. But if I were someone else, I would have probably written them off. I said, listen, in the future, maybe we can work something out, da-da-da. I gave her an open possibility. But not everybody would do that. Pretty usually, if someone got an email like that, you would be on the junk mail list immediately, and you may never get a response again. So no matter how frustrated you might be, and I suspect that all of you in this room understand that, but nevertheless, there are some folks who don't, for whatever reason, and so pass this on to your sisters, because patience is very important, because you just don't know the reason why that person didn't get back to you. And most often it's simply because they were overwhelmed or they were away, or there's lots of reasons. Obviously it would be great if we were able to get back to everybody. And that goes to another point that I'd like to make, which is be persistent. A lot of times people, and I'm going to make a really vast generalization, but women have sometimes a difficulty asking for things. And sometimes women don't like to be seen as irritating or not nice or too aggressive. Forget that. Be aggressive. Be persistent. Be in my ear. Be constantly emailing me, calling me. Because believe it or not, that's one of the things I appreciate in order to keep me on track. I mean, I've got so many opportunities and so many choices to make. How do I make my choices? Well, number one, I'll make a choice based on whether or not your pitch or your subject or your issue is going to be relevant to whatever we're doing or the demographic of our radio stations. And then after that, it becomes a series of personal considerations. One is, do I know this person? Do I have a relationship with that person? Is it someone that I've related to before, had a really good experience with? They just rise up to the top like cream. You know, if I had a great experience with you, then I'm much more likely to be open to working with you again. In fact, you know, it's great for me. It makes my job easier if I'm working with someone that I think is professional, is good with follow-through, is convincing and eloquent and personable. Those are all great things. So that's another factor. And then another factor is that person's persistence. You know, persistence, and not in a really, there are ways of approaching it, and I guess everybody's going to have their own personal approach to it, but I'll give you, you know, there's so many examples of people that did not give up. What they did was they emailed me, they called me, they tweeted me, they Facebooked me, they LinkedIn me. And so after a while, you know, I go, you know, because there's so much noise in my world and in our world, that eventually it's the loudest voice or the most persistent voice that pierces through that cloud of noise, because there's so many things coming at us constantly. So if someone is taking the effort and doing it nicely, listen, I reached out to you, let me know what's going on, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or sometimes they'll say second email, and I'll go, okay, second email, all right, I didn't respond to you the first time. All those things are going to help you pierce through the fog, because I admire that. I actually appreciate people who have passion and persistence. And if someone believes in their cause, believes in their message enough to go through all the trouble that they're going through to really track me down, then I'm going to give them a listen. I really will, and most likely I will say yes. So persistence is extremely, extremely important. The fact that they understand what my needs are extremely important. You know, whether it's giving me advance notice or pitching me with stories that are related to the kinds of things that I would want to do, those are all very, very important. So, you know, it's important to understand, again, who your audience is. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to ask me questions, because in the end, I really want to be here of service to you. I want to talk about social media briefly, because that has absolutely transformed the way that I work. Back in the days, which I'm sure Bonnie will testify to, it was a simple matter of typing out a press release. You did it in a certain format. You put it in an envelope, you know, put a stamp on it, sent it in the mail, and then it went to whoever it was that opened it, and they decided whether or not they'd do it or not do it. Well, these days, again, snail mail is more of an inconvenience. It's more of a waste of paper. And I find that most often than not, the people that send me stuff are the ones that have the least understanding of what it is that it takes in order to get their message out. So that comes down to, well, what are some of the ways that you utilize that have to do with social media? Well, I'll tell you that 2 years ago, I had a Twitter account 3 years ago and a Facebook account before that, but the Twitter account was very inactive until Hurricane Irene came around, and I'll tell you that totally changed my mind. It sold me on the incredible power of Twitter, So Hurricane Irene, I, you know, slept overnight at the station, and I'm on the air in the morning on Sunday, and I'm following all the different Twitter accounts that related to Hurricane Irene, you know, the Office of Emergency Management, the Managing Director's Office, the Mayor's Office, all that kind of stuff. Well, I also followed Mayor Nutter's advance man, Luke. And so he was saying, you know, blah, 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 I'm with the mayor, blah, blah, blah. And so I tweeted Luke, and I said, listen, can the mayor come on the radio? And within 5 minutes, he said, when? I said, how about 5 minutes? And in 5 minutes, I had the mayor on the air. Now, can you imagine how incredibly rapid and fast-paced that opportunity came? And that's because I was following it, and it really is lightning fast. And I've had some publicists reach out to me via Twitter. Now, I'm not entirely sure whether it's because I have relatively few Twitter followers. I think I have about 1,000 now. You know, it's starting to build up, but it's still manageable. There may come a time when it's not going to be as manageable. I don't know that yet. But right now, it's an excellent way to reach me, so follow me. It's Lorraine Ballard with one R, Lorraine Ballard. And that's it. And so if you followed me, that's one way that people have been reaching out to me. Another way they've been reaching out to me is Facebook. You know, I have almost 5,000 Facebook followers at this point. And clearly they're not my close personal friends. But I do have a lot of people who are in your business, whether they're with nonprofits or with for-profits or marketing firms, and they make their pitches. And, you know, again, that's just another way to reach me and another way to reach some of the folks that you want to reach. So utilize Facebook, utilize Twitter. For those of you who, you know, for whom Twitter is still, what the heck is that? You know, please check out some of the other seminars if there aren't any available at this point, or at least find out about it. Actually, I found out about Twitter at the Pennsylvania Conference for Women. I came away from a seminar after an amazing presentation saying, I've got to sign on to Twitter. It took me a little while longer to be active in Twitter, but that was actually the value of being here. You always come away with something really life-changing, and that certainly was true for me. So with that, I'm going to ask you if you have any questions or if you have any challenges that you want some advice on of how to get your story out. I'm here for you. I'm here to answer your questions and to give you advice. So who has a question? Yes. Okay, you're going to have to speak up. Maybe you can go to the microphone. Thank you. And tell us who you are.
Okay, my name is Christine Kohenka. And I'm actually in communications with Dow Chemical. And I have a question concerning the information you provided. Mm-hmm. Is this relevant to other media besides just the radio? So, for example, I'm sure much of it is, but would the full scope of what you were recommending also apply to other media channels?
Absolutely. I mean, whether it's television or whether it's print, well, there's some differences. It depends on whether you're going for instance, if it's public affairs. If you're going for a public affairs program like on a TV station or a radio station, there's going to be a little bit of a different kind of approach to it. If you're going to try to engage a reporter, you're dealing with a much faster time frame. You know, you have a story that you think is really hot, you need to get that to that reporter, you need to pitch it, and you need to get it, you know, into that person's mindset that they want to cover that within a relatively short period of time. Now, there's events that are in advance where you can give people advance warnings, and sometimes which brings me to another point, which is regardless of where you're from, I mean, whether you have a client that, okay, well, let's take Dow Chemical, for instance. Dow Chemical was very involved with Keep Philadelphia Beautiful, providing lots of volunteer efforts and also paint to help repaint, because I'm on the board of Keep Philadelphia Beautiful, so I happen to know that. So, you know, maybe someone like you could pitch me and say, listen, you know, there's some really good things we're doing in the community, and because I'm committed to emphasizing corporate civic engagement, then I'd be very interested in talking to you about that. So that might be something. Now, another example that doesn't necessarily relate to you, but maybe relates to, there's a report that comes out that says that oral health issues are the number one problem for children. That might come out. I think there actually was a study that came out recently. Well, if I were working for a nonprofit dental outreach program, I'd be like on the phone and saying, hey, listen, I work with young people, I work in schools, I see this firsthand, and I can tell you what the challenges are. So it's very important to be very tuned in to what is happening in the world so that if your client or your organization has something to say about a particular news story that comes out, then you're ready to go. You've got an expert witness. You've got somebody who can speak to the issue. And you need to be proactive about it. And you need to pitch that. And it's very important to do that. For someone like you, you've got all kinds of really cool things that you're doing. And for someone like me, I'm interested in hearing those stories. For television, again, there's a distinction between a reporter and someone who's doing like a long-form program. Again, with a reporter, you want to, pitch them a specific story, and sometimes the time frame is a lot faster. Like recently, after the Puerto Rican Day parade, there was an incident in which a police officer slapped a woman. And so, I think all Latino organizations should have been doing news conferences saying, this is outrageous. So you take something that is related to your constituency and you make an effort to let people know how you feel about it. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
I'm an entrepreneur and I empower women to see their own value so they can price themselves right in the market. Would it be of any value for me to go to the different media locations in my area and offer that expertise, or is that jumping the gun? Do I need to have an issue that I say, oh, I can speak on that, or is it something that I can introduce myself ahead of time and offer my services if they need them, or if they come up with a topic that they need a point of view?
Well, I think what I'm hearing you say is that I think what you might want to do is, it sounds like you've got a great service, and so what you want to do is create. Here's another thing that is probably a useful thing, which is creating a media package, and make sure that your media package isn't 18 megabytes. That's another little pet peeve that I have, is people sending me these PDAs that are like 18 megabytes, and they crash my, automatically go in the trash, sorry, I mean, they're usually beautifully done, and this is great, but I'm not sure why they have to be 18 megabytes. So you want to create a media package that's straightforward, basically saying who you are, what you do, what the accomplishments are that you do, what your mission, your goals. And, it should be one page. It should be very simple. You should pitch that. I think that's a great idea. It's a great service that you're offering. Yes?
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm Melissa Ducas, founder of Women in Business Social Networking. I just want to know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I just started it 2 years ago. And I just want to know, this is all new to me, how to be, what are the qualifications for you to, host, we have an event, and if we want you to cover our event, we're not a nonprofit, but we're doing just like a nonprofit. We're working together to help the community. We donate a portion to the community. But what will be your requirements for you to cover our events?
Well, it depends. We have to be really careful because there are sometimes we've been burned in the past, and that's why we're especially sensitive. And, there are a lot of for-profits that often say that they're going to be doing an event for a nonprofit. But then I find out later that they're only giving a portion of the proceeds, and then by the time all of their expenses are taken up, then there's really nothing left. So we're a little bit cautious about that, but we're all not necessarily against the idea of talking to people that are trying to do good things in the community, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit. So I think what you need to do is you need to have a clear idea of what it is that you do, be able to communicate that in, like a like a package or a press release or something or a statement, and then you pitch that idea. And if you wanted us to be on site, it's probably less likely that we would do that because we really mainly do it for nonprofits strictly. But for anyone who wants us to be somewhere, and radio stations are great for getting your message out because I'll give you an example. We worked very closely with the Philadelphia Fight, and we did HIV testing. So we did a live broadcast, and we also had an HIV testing van. So not only did we go on site, but our jocks were talking about it. They talked about why it's important to know your status. And so you can find out that there are lots of creative ways of getting your message out that are beyond just simply having somebody do a story about it or doing an interview about it. It could be more of a multi-layered kind of thing where you engage. I mean, if you had someone like WDAS's Patty Jackson, you know, casually say, well, I think it's very important for you to know your numbers, you know, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and the American Heart Association is doing this event, and I'm going to be there. You know, that's going to be worth, that's like worth its weight in gold. As opposed to even having somebody do a story about it, you're going to be hearing somebody who a vast number of people relate to, love, and respect, and listen to. And so that's yet another way that you reach out to your audience, is finding perhaps the right person who can be your spokesperson, who are willing to talk about your issue. Yes.
Hi. I'm Donna Garcia, a communications specialist, coach, consultant. So the question I have is a little bit different than a media package. There are some websites, I guess, that are out there, like Harrow, Help a Reporter Out, and then there are others for radio so that you can, you know, get on to the radio shows. Is that those kinds of, I guess you call them websites, mm-hmm. is it worth the time and effort to pursue them?
Well, I'm familiar with one of the things that you mentioned, and I've never used any of those things. Mm-hmm. But that's me. I'm not sure that I necessarily represent, you know, the vast landscape of what people use, mm-hmm. but it's not. In fact, I've actually heard those. I was reading an article in Mashable last night, which is a website, by the way, you should all be keeping up with because it tells you all the latest stuff having to do with the new technology, the new media, and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the things that they were recommending was going to some of these sites.
Yeah.
But I have not had personal experience with those sites. And I, frankly, would not have time to look things up. You know, I think that the purpose of those is to provide kind of like a one-stop shop to, if you, say I was doing an article on whatever, something, you know, maybe diabetes, then, you know, I could go there and it might list a bunch of people that I could speak to. But the truth is that I would probably go to the American Diabetes Association, or I might go to somebody local. I would rather go local than go national. I think a lot of those are really very all-encompassing, and they have experts from all over the country. So that's too overwhelming to me.
It seems like that they're looking for experts. That's okay.
That could be, and you should, you know, if they don't charge you anything, mm-hmm. I would definitely try it. If they charge you something, then I would think twice.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay. Yes, Shalimar.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Shalimar Blakely. I'm with the Peace of PR. I'm actually the president of an organization called the Peace of PR. Lorraine, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about media sponsorships and how an organization can submit a media sponsorship that's beneficial to the organization and the media outlet we're reaching out to.
That's a good question, because the Pennsylvania Conference for Women is a great example of that. We are one of the media sponsors for that. And so what happened was that sometime, I don't even remember when, it must have been at least 7 years ago, we were approached to be a media sponsor. And so what that meant, you know, you'll find more and more, I mean, TV stations are different. They have more money than we do. Not to say that radio doesn't have money, they just keep the money and don't spend it as much. But so you'll find it very unlikely that we'll spend money for a sponsorship. Like, you know, usually when there's a sponsorship, there's all these different levels, you know, at the gold and platinum level, it's $10,000 and you get all this stuff, and then, you know, it goes down like that. For us, if you're looking for media sponsorship, it's going to all be in kind. Now, that can be tremendously valuable. For instance, with the Pennsylvania Conference for Women, We designated a big block of PSA time, 15-second pieces that aired over the course of the last couple of months. We did email blasts. We did web, you know, we had stuff on our website. We did interviews. We did all kinds of things like that. So media sponsorship is a really great way to go if you can convince us that it makes sense for us to do that. It's, you know, usually what that means is that if you don't have a budget for advertising, then this might be an alternative. But it's got to be something that's going to really knock our socks off, because, you know, that time is really valuable. It's very expensive, that time. The other thing, too, is don't discount the possibility of buying advertising. And that's one of the last things that nonprofits want to do, because you've got so much money devoted on actually operating the organization. But I've noticed, and I went to a conference by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and one of the most successful organizations, what they did was they were able to get donors to provide a certain budget for marketing. And I can't tell you how valuable that is, because if you just rely on public service announcements, you'll find, number one, that it's difficult to get a public service announcement on the air because there's so much competition. It's oftentimes you won't get the kind of traction because we won't be able to air as many as perhaps would be useful for you to have on the air. I mean, it's all going to be beneficial. But if you had some kind of marketing budget, usually radio stations and TV stations and even print will give you a special rate because you are a nonprofit. And with that, then you start to get visibility. Because one of the, I think, the challenges for nonprofit organizations is letting people know the great things that you do. Because clearly, people that are doing this work are doing it for the betterment of our communities. And the problem is that you're doing it in such a way that that's what your focus is. But you have to tell your story. It's like an anecdote that, all right, Andrea, just take a seat now. These are my girlfriends. They're coming to support me. Thank you. I met this woman at this executive women's conference. Her name was Johnny Walker, like the liquor. And she worked for Def Jam, Island Def Jam. And she said, and I have a point to this, but she said, when you walk into a room, you say who you are. You know, I remember for many years, I'd go into a room and probably people had no idea who I was because I wouldn't say. You know, I was kind of like, you know, quiet and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and eventually people might figure it out or I might say it in the course of a conversation. But the way that she looked at it was that, hi, I'm Johnny Walker. I'm vice president of Def Jam Records. And that was one of the first things that she would say. She was like, let it come out right away. And so what that told me, and it was a lesson that I'll never forget, is that you have to sell yourself. You have to brand yourself. It's just as important for nonprofits as it is for Coca-Cola or Pepsi. Because when you think about your organization, you want to be the one that they think of first. You know, if you think about HIV and AIDS, you know, it's the AIDS Fund, Philadelphia Fight. If it's heart disease, the American Heart Association. If it's rape, domestic violence, it's women organized against rape, or the organization that I cannot think of, but organized for domestic violence. Never mind. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying. Obviously, I just had a brain fart. But what you want to do is you want to be top of mind. And so Johnny Walker taught me a valuable lesson, which is that you have to brand yourself. You have to brand yourself, your organization, your mission. That's extremely important. Any other questions? Yes.
My name is Joni Verner. I'm an attorney. I have a small law firm in town, but I'm wearing my hat as the president of the board of a nonprofit. Very small group and really, really small board, where we try to, we're constantly trying to develop the board and bring in people who have different points of view, different expertises, without asking them to do all the work for free. I would think that people in this, with these talents of marketing and knowing how to get your message out there, et cetera, would be really, really sought-after board members,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder if there is there a place to tap into that, to make a solicitation for board membership?
I don't know that there's a specific place. I think you need to kind of look at what people do and see who's out there. You know, if you see someone who does a lot of reporting on women's issues, let's say, or education issues, then maybe you want to reach out to that person to see if they would be interested in being part of your board. You'll find that there are a lot of people that are very community-oriented and minded and would be happy to consider it. I think mostly what you have to do is just pitch them. You know, they could, all they'll say is no. Definitely, I think it's a real plus to have someone who has media or marketing experience on your board. I think that's absolutely invaluable. I've been to, I was a member of a board recently, which I just resigned and joined another board, but the Variety Club was an example of a board that didn't really have a media subcommittee, and then I became part of that media subcommittee and helped them come up with a strategy. So that's one really wonderful way to be able to not only get the expertise, but then you've got somebody who really has a special place in their heart for you, because I was doing a ton of stuff about Variety Club, you know, interviews here, PSAs there, on-site here. You know, I mean, obviously, we become vested because we're part of that organization.
Well, before I lose this opportunity, the group I'm talking about is the Women's Therapy Center. We're about to celebrate, or we are celebrating our 40th year. This started in the hippie days as the Feminist Therapy Coalition, and we really want to take advantage of that. So if anyone would love to be on a fabulous board, please see me.
Okay. I love it. She's making a pitch. Excellent. Yes.
I'm not volunteering. But I did want to tell anybody who's in a similar circumstance that LinkedIn has a new service if you're a registered nonprofit where it will let you enter your board members in and you can search all of their networks for certain skills that people have identified. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes.
Hi. My name is Bella. I'm also known as DJ Bella. I've been spinning for 20 years.
Whoa. All right.
I started at KALX Radio 90.7 FM in Berkeley.
Nice. There are not that many female DJs still out there.
Yeah, I was very new at that time. My question, get to my question, let me see. I spent 7 years at the station and 2 years as a promotions director, so I'd be happy to network with anybody here, too. I left the Bay Area and moved to the Philadelphia area a few years ago, and I've been struggling to try to connect with like-minded people. So I was wondering, I guess two things. Do you have any recommendations for broadcasting organizations, radio people, for women specifically? And the second question is, I've been sort of discouraged in the music business and mm-hmm. the radio business with the amount of sexism in the business, and I keep leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. So do you have any insight on that?
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah. There is an organization, Radio and Television. What is that organization? Yeah, I don't think there really isn't anything. I've been to a few of their events, but I wouldn't say that I know of any organization that's specifically about that. I mean, I have a lot of informal groups, just people that I know that are in the media that we get together, but we don't have, there are not really a lot of formal groups out there. It is a huge market, and as you discovered in... She's my friend.
Make a pitch and say, listen, I need money to make this happen so that
yeah.
I can
volunteering, and I met somebody at WKBU, but you have to be an alumni or a student to be a part of that radio station.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a catch-22 these days. Right. You know, one of the challenges for us, it's a good thing and a not so good thing, and that is that most radio and TV stations will only take people who are receiving credit for as interns, and that's having to do with U.S. labor laws, but it's also shut out a lot of opportunity, because back in the day, in the early days, I used to take people that I thought were really great, and they weren't getting credit, but they were fantastic, and they've gone on to be, you know, greater things, but we are now require that. But afterwards, let's talk, because I can hook you up with DJ Diamond Cutts. She is one of the top female DJs in the country. She travels with Nicki Minaj and all that good stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Hi. My name is Amanda. I work for the Department of Environmental Protection, and we are the state agency that issues the most press releases out of any state agency. What I've been doing while you've been talking is issuing press releases on environmental education grants. So if anyone has a teacher in their life that would like to do environmental education grants, see me. That's
cool.
Neither here nor there. But we issue, I would say, between 5 and 10 press releases a week out of our agency alone. And because of our level of staffing, we really don't have the resources to be doing pitch calls on all those releases. So I want to know, from your perspective, when a release crosses your desk, and we do not send via mail, we send, you know, over PR Newswire, what is the thing that most, you know, attracts your attention? Is it the headline? Is it the lead? Is it the appearance, the layout? Or do you not look at it at all if you don't get a pitch call about it?
Well, here's the sad truth. For those organizations that send me numerous emails, I put them in my junk mail. So they go, usually what happens, and I do it not because I think it's junk, but because I get so many, there's certain PR and marketing firms, I might get 10 pitches or press releases a week from that organization. So I put them in my junk mail list simply so I can pull them all into one folder. But here's the thing, if I have time, I will go through and look through and look at them. But sometimes I'll just go click and then it goes to trash. Unfortunately, just sending out a press release, it's unless you do some kind of follow-up, unless you do something to raise people's awareness or, you know, just to get to cut through the fog, then you might as well be, you know, peddling in mud. It's just, you know, it's not that it's a waste of time, because I'm sure there are going to be people for whom they will look at that, and that's something they're interested in and something they're willing to cover. Something will click. But in the end, I think you're going to have to really think about how you're going to follow up, because simply sending a news release isn't often enough, given the lack of personnel to look at your news release. So that's, but Luann from NBC 10 has perhaps an alternate view here. Luann.
I would say you need to tailor your press releases. You're going to have to, you cannot send generic press releases out anymore. You're going to have to tailor it. If you want TV, it's got to be a visual event. And you've got to make me understand why this is important to get there. And if you know a reporter specifically that you can also pitch it to, so that in the morning meeting, and we all have morning meetings where we discuss what stories are we going to cover today, then I would be your sponsor, let's say, and go, oh, we need to cover this. This is really visual. It's important. I don't know if you could give me an example. They're growing a garden on top of the roof of, I don't know what it would be that you're doing.
Right.
Right.
Scandal. Yes.
Or if there's a scandal and you want to be a whistleblower, then Luann is your person.
Well, yeah. If you're doing radio or you're doing newspaper, you need to specifically be talking to those reporters. I'm telling you, these press releases now are just like...
It's like background noise, basically. Yeah.
But you know what? The media... I also work for the Department of Environmental Protection.
Cool.
People with the failing pipes.
Wait. So, well, okay, here's my question to you. How did that story get generated? Okay, so... There you go. You made a pitch.
Oh, my
God. Oh, this is why. Yeah, I'm an attorney, so for my agency,
I can help you
get the story.
Yes, I can be the, I am the middle woman. That's my job.
Yeah, but that's right. I mean, that's an opportunity.
Don't miss your opportunity.
Yeah, it's the follow-up. And you want to be timely, too, because, you know, if as a result of the story that Luann did, something happened, that's an amazing story. That's a story. How did you get the story? Did someone from the neighborhood call you? From? Okay. Right. Well, that's awesome.
Don't tell us.
Yeah. So anyway, there's an opportunity there. And so... Yeah.
Well, this is the problem with bureaucracy. Yeah. It's not the attorney's job to follow.
No, it's right.
But if I don't even know that the remediation happened as a result of your story in the first place, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like... Yeah.
There you go.
You guys will communicate about.
Yeah, I think in a way that speaks to something that we talked about earlier, which is the fact that you need to constantly be thinking, you know, how does this fit in to the media landscape? I mean, where's the story there? It often sometimes means having not only the person who does the PR thinking this way, but having the lawyer think this way, or have someone else who's in the organization think this way, because it can't really all just be on you, because you have as much of a challenge as I do on your side. You're trying to crank out all this news, and you may not have, if everyone is thinking the same way, like you were just saying, you know, wouldn't it have been great to have a follow-up story? Well, then maybe you would have thought to talk to your colleague and say, hey, let's do something. Let's, you know, that story was done. Now we did something, so let's do the follow-up. Someone else had, did you have a?
Yes, kind of similar to the previous question. My name is Christina, and I work for Tierney. We do public relations for various companies. I specifically work with McDonald's and Ronald McDonald House Charities. So we always have a ton of good things going on, and we're always sending out releases and media advisories. So my question is, we do tailor, you know, I really try to talk to my team about tailoring the pitches and sending them to specific reporters, but often that leaves us going back to the same community reporters every time. Do you feel that that's okay? I mean, I, you know, we, I, feel like we battle with constantly sending so many releases to the same people, but at the same time, I'd like, you know, the reporters and everyone to know that we are targeting you because this is what you cover.
Well, I'll answer that question, and then my co-facilitator, Luann, can also join me. But I think that there's nothing wrong with that, because really that speaks to one of the most important things that if you walk away from this, you should know that it's all about relationships. I mean, the world is all about relationships. It's about having that connection, because you have that relationship with a reporter, they're more likely to call you back. I have some people from Tierney that I deal with all the time, and I usually do their stories because, you know, they're good to work with. And there are other PR companies that I work with very closely because they pitch me, they're good stories, and I like working with them. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Luann? Yeah,
that's
golden.
When they leave, then you're in trouble.
Exactly. Yeah, so you need to start creating a new relationship. We have 10 more minutes, so I'm going to say one more thing, and then we'll have more questions. But we talk a lot about, you know, conventional media, radio, television, print. But I also want to just throw out for those of you, some of you are already doing that, my intern Aaliyah over there is doing that, and what that is creating your own media. Because in this world, it's not only, people are not only getting information from, you know, the television stations, radio stations, and all that, but they're in print, but they're also obviously getting it from a lot of other places, Huffington Post. I mean, who doesn't go to Huffington Post every day to look and see, you know, the latest scandal? But of course, the politics and all that stuff. Second. But, you know, so there's lots of really great blogs. There's lots of great internet sites. And I'll give you an example, a small example, but again, with Variety Club. Variety Club, you know, one of the things I did as a board member is I gave them a flip cam. I donated a flip cam. And I said, at every event that you go to, get some video. Talk to the clients. Talk to the kids. So that you have this material that you can create into a piece that you yourself control. You yourself can tell the story. You're all prosumers. I once went to a seminar about 5 years ago from the guy who wrote Future Shock. And this guy is like, you know, he's always thinking ahead to what the future is. And he, before anyone was talking about YouTube and all that, he says, we're becoming not only consumers, but prosumers. We're creating our own content. And so you can create your own content too. You can start your own YouTube channel. You can start your own Twitter feed. You can have a Facebook page. If you don't have a Facebook page, you know, that's a real easy one to start. Even if you don't have a website, you can do that. You should have, all of you should have a flip cam or some sort of recorder of some kind so that you can take content wherever you go for all the events that you do. You should record everything. That's basically what we try to do. We create all this content. We're constantly uploading it. Because at the very beginning of this whole talk, I said that I oversee 6 radio stations, but really they're brands. Well, the reason why I say that is now radio stations, our company, it changed its name. We used to be Clear Channel Radio. Now we're Clear Channel Media and Entertainment. And what that means is that we have these platforms, these many radio stations that have content that go across many different avenues, whether it's YouTube, it's Twitter, it's Facebook. We bring in artists all the time. We do live streaming. We do all these different things. So it's no longer just radio. We're finding that all of our media is blending together with the digital revolution. TV stations are doing that. I mean, when Luann does a story, she posts it on the website as well as on air, so that if you missed it on TV one day, you can go back and check it out later. Newspapers are slowly dying, a very painful death, but they're trying to embrace the digital. Where how they monetize that is still the big question. But so back to the point is, you can create your own content. And sometimes your content could go viral. You just never know. I mean, you look at some of these crazy cat videos. I mean, you know, it's like amazing. You get a million hits. But you also, like for instance, It Gets Better. I think that's a campaign that you all know about, which is about individuals who are gay, who've experienced bullying, or people who are in support of folks that have been bullied, talking about how it can get better. And that's become a viral campaign. And so each of you has the potential for being able to create, you know, with creativity, with passion, with eloquence. You know, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take Steven Spielberg. Anybody can do it, really. Probably, you know, some of your teenage interns can come in and do it for you better than you can. I don't know. But you should also be able to do that as well. You should be creating content as well as trying to get your content on our platforms. We have time for a couple more questions. Yes?
I have a question about hashtags. Mm-hmm. I have a Twitter account. How would you find out which ones are going to bring in the people that you want to bring in?
Like, well, hashtag Kardashian, you'll get tons of hits, I guarantee it. No, I'm just kidding.
Science and women in science.
Right.
I'm a part of the Graduate Women in Science.
Gotcha.
My Twitter account is focused on the science stuff.
I guess you just have to figure out. I mean, it's really hard to say because... There you go. Okay, thank you. One more question? Oh, is that it? Oh, one more. Okay, go ahead.
I feel like I should have something really important about the last one. I was just curious, when pitching, do you assume you're being pitched exclusively if someone's offering you a source of a certain topic?
Not necessarily. I think for what I do, I'm not really a hard news person. So I don't really care, especially if it's something that's community related. I'm happy that other people are covering it. I want other people to cover it. Sometimes I'll even call my rival radio stations and say, hey, this is a great interview. You should do it too. So to me, it doesn't matter. Now, Luann, who's leaving now, she might have a different point of view. I think that you'd want to have an exclusive. Or Mina, who works at NBC 10, I mean, you would want to have an exclusive, wouldn't you? I mean, if you had a choice.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess it does depend. I mean, I think for someone like me, not so much. Of course, if I do get an exclusive, like, say, with the Trayvon Martin family, you know, I would say, yeah, that's great. But for the most part, it doesn't matter so much. I do want to mention that, again, my Twitter is Lorraine Ballard, and it's Lorraine with one R, L-O-R-A-I-N-E Ballard, B-A-L-L-A-R-D. My email address is, the quick and easy one, is Lorraine, L-O-R-A-I-N-E, Lorraine with one R, at power99.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, because we are now related. We met. So if you say that you met me through the Pennsylvania Conference for Women, I'm going to get back to you. I promise you that. So thank you very much.